This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to LabCast. In this episode, we're joined once again by Peter Cohen, managing partner of SaaS Marketing Strategy Advisor and publisher of the Practical Advice on SaaS Marketing blog and newsletter. Thank you very much for joining us today, Peter.
Thanks for having me.
So last time you were in, we talked about some of the SaaS marketing mistakes and pitfalls to avoid. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about some SaaS marketing strategies, and we thought we'd start with the first question. How do you decide whether or not you even want to offer a SaaS solution? How do you come to that conclusion, whether it's right for your organization?
Well, first, it's an excellent question, and I have to say, sometimes I talk with people who are companies that are thinking about moving into SaaS, and they haven't asked that question. They sort of get captured by the potential opportunities in SaaS and kind of the fact that it's a very high profile area these days, but then they start asking me questions like, how do I, continue to sell my existing business and then add on the SaaS solution? Or, is there a way for me to structure my SaaS contract so that I still get an upfront payment? And they started asking these questions, and it began to dawn on me that maybe what they really wanted to do is say, how do I do this SaaS stuff without really doing this SaaS stuff? So the question is asking, so what I would say to these folks, quite frankly, is look, there are a lot of good reasons to do SaaS, but they may not necessarily be good reasons for you to do SaaS. And frankly, if you have a very successful on-premise business model, and you don't need to do SaaS, don't. there's nothing mysterious about that, or good or bad. If it doesn't work for you, just don't do it.
Right.
So I tried to lay out. I do try to help these folks and lay out some reasons, like what would cause you to do SaaS? Why would you need to do SaaS? And I've identified a few reasons that I think people should think through really carefully. One is competitive pressure. Obviously, if your competitors are offering a SaaS solution and you're losing business to these competitors because prospective customers prefer the SaaS solution over the on-premise or a hosted solution, then clearly that's a good reason to consider a SaaS solution, adding that to your portfolio. The other and obviously related reason is, if customers demand it. If you have customers who are demanding that you sell them your solution in an on-demand, in a SaaS model, always a good idea to listen to customers.
Right.
That's kind of a no-brainer, right? A third reason, this applies primarily to small companies, startups and those folks, is if your investors demand it. So, if you're looking for venture funding, for example, oftentimes venture firms are, at least these days, are more eager to invest with companies who are delivering their software as a SaaS model as opposed to traditional on-premise. And so that, in those cases, that's a good reason to do SaaS.
Clearly.
Okay. And the final reason is that there may be things that you can do in a SaaS model, features and functions that you can offer in a SaaS model that you can't do in a traditional or more difficult to do in a traditional on-premise model. So, I'm thinking of, if you have an application that's updated frequently and has to be distributed to a remote workforce, I'm thinking about expense report software or something like that, or CRM in many cases is a good example. We have a sales force dispersed around the country or around the globe. That's the SaaS model where you access it remotely via any browser. That makes an awful lot of sense for the SaaS model. In other words, it's just functionality that you really can't or be difficult to deliver in an on-premise model. So there's four good reasons, that people would move to SaaS. I mean, don't get me wrong. I try not to discourage people from
right.
going to SaaS, but, think through it really carefully because, the transition of if you have a successful model, on-premise model, the transition going over to SaaS is not painless.
Certainly not.
Well, think carefully about it.
Well, let's say that they did think carefully about it. They've come to the conclusion that SaaS is the road they want to take. You mentioned before that there are some considerations, particularly involving the org chart. A SaaS model can really change the org chart. What exactly did you mean like that? What are some of the things that people should be aware of?
Yeah, it is a good example. When I say the transition isn't painless and it's not sort of, you know, there are big changes that have to go on. And one of them I have found is with the organization. Within you know your internal organization as a vendor, you know things that you know when you looked at you know org charts traditionally they had these nice boxes and they were well separated and there are lines and every once in a while if you had sort of a more complex organization you had dotted lines between these boxes but basically the boxes were separate. Well, you know that whole model of the nicely organized. Org chart kind of breaks down in the SaaS model. As I like to tell people, it sort of takes those nice boxes and it smooshes them all together in a lot of cases. Let me give you some ideas of what I'm talking about.
Sure.
So, you know, marketing and sales is a traditional one where, you know, you used to have the marketing box and you had the sales box. In the SaaS model, you can't afford to have these two separate boxes where oftentimes they're sort of sniping back and forth across each other. You know, the marketing guys are saying, your sales guys are not closing business, and the sales guys are saying, your leads are no good.
Right, right.
That sort of stuff. You just can't afford that. You know, the SaaS business model requires a really close coordination between marketing and sales. And to have these sort of separate boxes where they work in different, you know, different organizations with different objectives is just a failure. So that's one, you know, idea of how these you know, separate boxes get crunched together. A couple that are not quite so obvious is customer support, you know, that organization and the sales organization. I mean, think about, you know, it used to be, right, the salesperson sold the software, you know, then they handed it over the wall, customer support group went and deployed it, and they maintained it and answered all the customer support questions over the lifetime of the software. And, you know, there wasn't a whole lot of back and forth or, you know, that sort of stuff between, there was the one handoff between sales and customer support, and that was it. Well, in the SaaS model, it's different, right?
Mm-hmm.
The SaaS model, this customer is under subscription, so they need to renew them. That is, you know, sales essentially needs to go resell the existing customer whenever the subscription expires, right? The business model in most cases requires renewal to be successful. So your customer support people are not just, you know, they're actually become part of the sales process.
Certainly,
you know, if the customer is not happy with support, then they're not going to renew, and you're going to basically, you know, lose that sale of the customer, right? So that's a second example that I point to a lot, where you know the boxes get mushed together. A third one I actually think about, and this is really not, it took me a while to sort of grasp this, but the user experience team and the marketing team. I mean, you know, the user experience is those guys who do the great graphics and icons and navigation, all that kind of stuff that they do, and the product and the marketing group, you know, at least they need to be on the same page, and it's usually helpful if they understand each other. The reason is, frankly, that, you know, let me put it this way. If there's a poorly designed product, it's really hard to sell, you know, and certainly hard to renew. Again, remember in the SaaS model, you got to do
renewals.
They've
tried it, yeah. So.
Exactly. If they've seen it and they go, oh, this is really complicated. I don't get it. There's too many bells and whistles. There's too many buttons, or the thing is laid out poorly or what have you. It just makes it really, really hard for the marketing folks and the sales folks, for that matter, to renew. So, again, you know, the marketing team and the UX team, the user experience team, need to be on the same page and in sync, because, you know, if they're not working toward the same goal, then it's really hard to, you know, really hard to be successful. I had some fun one time sort of thinking about these marketing or these boxes smooshing together and the effect on titles, right?
Right.
In fact, I heard this one speaker talking about, you know, his first hire. He had a SaaS a company he was building, and his first hire, it wasn't like the VP of sales, VP of marketing. His first hire was somebody he called the title Vice President of Customer Experience.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, which actually, when you think about it, makes an awful lot of sense. You know, this person was going to be in charge of delivering a high quality customer experience for the, you know, for those users so that they would renew and make it easier to sell. So a few others, you know, the vice president of customer support would really kind of morph into the vice president of customer retention.
Right.
Because it's more, it's not just support. It's like kind of a combination of support and sales and marketing. So VP of customer retention made a lot of sense for me.
So SaaS is just spawning new VP roles.
Exactly, like. Exactly. All kinds of new titles. So, you know, all the traditional things get tossed out the window, you know.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just ways you think about this stuff that, you know, just an indication of how different the model is and has a, you know, pervasive impact throughout the entire organization.
Right. And when we talked in your last podcast, we talked about, you know, how different the model is. We talked about the way, you know, the marketing strategy is very different for a SaaS model. So let's talk a little bit more about some of the marketing strategies and considerations. First about as far as agile marketing considerations for software as a service.
Agile marketing. Yeah, this is a concept that I sort of borrowed, some might say stole, from the development
we'll
folks.
Say borrowed.
Right?
We'll say borrowed.
Yeah. Okay, so borrowed and adapted. Let's sure. be generous. From the development folks. You know, the development folks in SaaS organizations in particular have been moving away from the traditional waterfall approach to this agile development methodology to build software. You know, it's not like, you know, they would build this big honking thing 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, or however long it took to bring this software out. Instead, they were doing these, you know, agile development scrums and sprints and all these other athletic sounding terms.
Right.
And they would be bringing out new enhancements to the product every, you know, few weeks in some cases, not even every few months, but every few weeks they'd be bringing out new enhancements to the product. Well, I found that there needed to be some corresponding agile methodology for marketing just to keep up. You know, in the my old days of doing marketing for these traditional organizations is, you know, you'd gear up your marketing organization to have these big launches every 18 months or what have you. And then you'd kind of slow down and you'd, you know, regroup and then you'd gear yourself up again. Well, you know, you couldn't really do that. You couldn't follow that same process with a product that you're updating that every 6 weeks, for example. You would just run out of gas. You'd just completely be behind all the time. You'd be on the wheel of death, basically. You just couldn't possibly keep up with that cycle. So, you know, you had to get faster, and that's why I like this kind of idea of agile marketing. It really requires you to be, you know, much, much faster, not go on a marathon pace, but kind of go on a sprint pace, you know,
right.
Do stuff really, really quickly and then kind of do it again with every enhancement. The other thing I liked about the agile concept is it's more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You kind of on the mode of let's try some things, see what works, measure it really, really carefully. If it works, do more of it. And if it doesn't, don't do it anymore.
A lot of quick reevaluation of
exactly.
what happens, right?
Exactly. Like sort of, you know, I mean, it's almost like trial and error, right?
Mm-hmm.
But although you're measuring really closely. But don't be afraid to try stuff. And if it doesn't work, you know, move on.
Certainly.
The other part that I like about it is, you know, sort of like you toss over all the dogma, you know, all the stuff that you thought, well, everybody says this works, so let's do it. You know, let's do direct mail. Let's do pay-per-click. Let's do whatever. You mm-hmm. pick it. And it all sort of like tosses that out the window. Sure, by all means, try it. I mean, try search marketing, try webinars, try whatever you want to do, but then measure it and find out if it works. You know, it's so funny that there are examples I've found of companies that, you know, take the, you know, the absolute, you know, tried and true, cannot fail search engine marketing or pay-per-click, mm-hmm. for example. And then they've tried it and they've run the numbers and they say, wow, that didn't work at all. You know, we were paying like, you know, $500 to get a customer and we were only going to make $200 over the life of that customer.
Right.
Let's not do that anymore. Let's do something else. The other thing about flexibility is that, you know, that you need to do it because not only do some things work for some companies and they don't work for other companies, but sometimes things that worked yesterday don't work today. Mm-hmm. So keep trying different things and then go back and revisit them and see, well, does that work anymore? You know, find out if your numbers are saying, you know, yes, this used to work to generate a bunch of leads and convert them into customers and, you know, but this year it's not working so well, so let's try something else.
Well, as far as trying something else and something new, something that's new for a lot of companies, even though, you know, many have been doing it for a while, is, implementing social media as a part of their marketing strategy. You know, you're talking about like an SEM campaign that didn't really work. Well, social media is one free way that a lot of organizations are taking advantage of. But it depends a lot what kind of company you are. For a SaaS model, what are some of the opportunities out there as far as social media is concerned?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Let me confess that I was at first really skeptical about social media in a business context,
right,
at first. And, you know, it's taken me a while to warm up to this, and I've tried it in my own business. I find out actually some things do work. So I guess I'm a convert now. although I tell people, you know, don't get too excited and try to do everything all the time. You know, mm-hmm. Pick one or two of these, you know, a blog or Twitter or Facebook or whichever one you pick. Do one or two and do it really, really well.
Right.
And then maybe you want to expand it, you know, go beyond that. But
I agree. Absolutely.
Pick a few. The things I like about social media as a particularly good fit for SaaS, one is it because it – if it's used well, it can facilitate a good conversation between the company and the customer, so sort of this back and forth. Now, you know, what you're trying to do in this SaaS model is build this long-term relationship so that people kind of get comfortable with you, they trust you as their provider, and they renew over a long period of time. You know, renewing customers is kind of the holy grail here. So to the extent that you use social media to enable that back and forth conversation, it's really, really effective. And the thing in particular I like about social media is, in general, it's interactive. You know, it's not just company broadcast to customer.
Right.
A company broadcast again to customers. That's not one way. It's like it's a back and forth. You can talk back and forth.
And it has to be that way for it to be really, really successful.
Exactly. That's a relationship as
right.
opposed to something else. The other thing that's from a communications point of view that's interesting is that it's not just company to customer sort of back and forth, but it's side to side, right? Customers can talk amongst themselves, right? And they can share experiences back and forth and tips and tricks, and sometimes those experiences extend beyond the conversation about how to use this particular piece of SaaS solution. It might just extend to something else, but you know, it's kind of a nice media to facilitate that side-to-side conversation as mm-hmm. well as kind of company to customer, which I like. The other thing that I find really, I guess I'd say, refreshing about social media is it speaks in humanese. You know? It's like people talking to each other.
Sure.
It's generally, as you read these, it's more the good discussions I've seen on social media are like people speaking to people,
right,
and not corporation speak. You know, it's not corporate speak, and it's which I think, again, if your objective is to build a relationship, that's much more normal.
You know? Right, and people tend to be more honest too in those situations when you kind of personalize it and make it a little more informal. You probably get better feedback.
Exactly. I mean, you really do. You get better feedback, and you sound like, you know, like you're making human decisions about, you know, how you build the product and, you know, why you do what you did, and it doesn't sound like some sort of sterile, antiseptic, big corporate thing. One last thing I will say about social media is, the tools are really, really good. But what I end up finding the real value is not just learning how to use the tools well, how to use Twitter and Facebook,
right,
and other social media well, but also kind of adopting the whole attitude. It's more than just the technology. It's really the whole attitude that lets you use these well. And that's a good lesson, I think, to take away.
Well, listen, Peter, you know, thanks very much again for coming in and for providing this insight for us. I'd love to give you this opportunity to tell our listeners how to find more from you on your blog and your newsletter. They can go to your site and check out some more information, correct?
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity to talk with you and talk with your listeners. To find out more, I write a blog called Practical Advice on SaaS Marketing. If you put that in your search engine, you'll find it. There's also a newsletter I do monthly. I talk about the topics, many of the same topics we talked about today. Or you can find me on my website, which is SaaSMarketingStrategy.com. Again, it's Peter Cohen from SaaS Marketing Strategy Advisors.
Excellent. Well, thanks again for coming in. We appreciate it, and we look forward to doing it again sometime soon.
It'll be my pleasure.
All right. Have a great day.